Oh.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Good evening. It is. I've forgotten. It's Thursday, 24th of October, and it's the new Panic Room episode 162. And I think it's 9:30 Central, and other times in different places, I guess. I'm not going to list all of them because there's a lot, to be honest. And I lose track too easily these days. I'm not used to living in a country with 60,000 different time zones. When I guess really the only one that counts is here in good old Texas land, as we Brits like to call it, it's funny because obviously with Donald Trump sort of shifting the borders around, I'm not sure where we are anymore. He's obviously building a wall around Colorado now for some bizarre reason, not sure why. But anywho, before we get on to the old mate book of Donald Trump, thoughts and prayers, Donald, and I've missed a. I have missed her this week, so without further ado.
Come on, I'm with you.
next, Dina?
I am good. I'm good. I'm just looking forward to tomorrow. It's Friday, and yay, Friday. So, but I'm good. Yeah,
the
I was telling you my
the week has flown by, has it not?
It has. It has. Weren't we just doing this like yesterday? I think it was just yesterday when
I do believe we were. In fact, it was probably 10 minutes ago. In fact, we just finished the show, and here we are, 10 minutes ago. And it's funny that there's it's not really a rival show because he's nowhere near as good as we are, but there is another show. And he I think last month he did a show every evening, every night.
Oh,
and it's like, why do that?
Yeah.
No, to be fair, no one is that interesting.
No. Well, you know, I think that last year, I'm pretty sure it's the same show too, did a show every single day leading up to Halloween or something like that. And
we're taking Halloween off because. That's how we roll. I'll be out trick or treating until God knows what time. Because then I take my little girl, and of course, she comes home and stuffs her face with a candy, and she can't sleep till like 2 a.m. because she's on a sugar high, so she's pinging off the walls, you know.
I gotta tell you my sad story. You know, I think we're handing out candy, which is exciting to me because, you know, I grew up in a very religious, strict Baptist, you know, household, and Halloween is for the devil, so I wasn't allowed to participate. So we would actually, they would turn off the lights and we would have to pretend like we weren't home. And then like the next day, the kids would like pick on me because we knew you were home. We saw you picking out the window and it was humiliating.
I know.
It was.
It's funny, one of the neighbor's kids who my daughter was friends with and now she's not, and drama. And her parents the same. She said that they give her and her siblings candy and they don't go trick or treating because, you know, it makes baby Jesus cry. I thought, well, to be fair, tough shit. You know, cry, little baby Jesus. Cry. As we're trick and treating, it warms my heart to think that baby Jesus is crying. With each doorbell we ring, a little bit of baby Jesus died. The kids are missing out. It's not the devil. It's not the occult. It's not Satanism. It's kids getting free candy. I mean, that is it, you know. And it's just fun. They dress up. They have a laugh. You know, it's just unbelievable. It's just like, for God's sake. In fact, there was somebody posted on Facebook last week. Some pious asswipe walked out. It took his family to see the New Adams Family movie, which is an animated kids movie, and he walked out, made a big thing of it, and obviously, you know, making his point because he went against God and it was satanic.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's a fucking kids film, seriously. You knob, you absolute knob. Who does that to their kids? Hey kids, I'm gonna drag you out this movie you've been looking forward to seeing, great kids cartoon, because of my beliefs. That is wrong on so many levels. I just want to get hold of the guy and just knife him, you know. or just kick him in the face till his skull collapses or something to teach him a bit of a lesson, you know. It's just like how scarring is that for the children?
On the other hand,
you know, I took my kids to see and great segue, Zombieland 2. What a movie.
We saw it on Saturday. I think it was Saturday. And we loved it. I mean, of course, my son was there too, and he loved the, you know, Zombieland, the first one. So, we all thought it was great. You know, I don't know. I might say that I actually might. Well, see, I've watched the first one, I don't know, 6-7 times. So, you know, me saying that I think I might like the second one better is probably just because I've seen the first one a million times. But
Did you think it was as good as or better?
Oh, yeah. as good as. I don't know. I don't know about better, but definitely as good as. And
it was great to see the old, yeah. Eisenberg and Harrelson and Emma Stone. Bob Murray.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bob Murray cameo was phenomenal. How are they going to fit him up? They did, but they referenced it. I'm not going to spoil it. And Bob just make his cameo, and it's fantastic. Yeah, so brilliantly done, and it's so tongue-in-cheek, and it was like visiting with old friends. I really, really enjoyed it, So I shall eagerly wait for coming out on cable on whatever, Netflix or whatever. I don't have cable no more, so I can watch it again.
I think that every 10 years they should get together and just, so we know what's going on in Zombieland, because it's a great world. It is. It's a great, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I was worried. I was worried that it wasn't going to live up to the original, the first one or whatever. But it did. It did great. And I think what I liked most about it was that the laughs. I mean, it was funny and I laughed a bunch of times.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They didn't just trade off. There's a lot to trade off the original, which was fantastic. I mean, I guess there's the law of diminishing returns. It's never going to be. It's difficult to better.
Because
Zombieland itself was so unique, different. Yeah.
Yeah. One thing that I was waiting for, to throw, I guess I was waiting for a reference about the Twinkies, and I don't remember any Twinkie thing going on. And
I don't think there was a reference, was there?
No, there was one time when he pointed to a truck that was down the hill or whatever, and I thought that was going to be a Twinkie thing, but it wasn't. And
that was an ice cream van, wasn't it? Yeah.
So that was the only thing that I think I missed was the Twinkie, which it's small. I mean, that's a small thing to worry about. So everything else, it checked all the boxes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big fan. I liked it. I like zombies though. Do you watch the Walking Dead? Do you watch The Walking Dead at all?
No. I watched the first episode. I think I watched a few bits of season 3, and I just, and I'm a big zombie fan, big horror fan. I just could not get into it.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of these sort of long, long series, it's like 10 seasons or whatever, because it's a big commitment, and it's just and they always sort of run out of steam about, with the notable exception of Breaking Bad, which, to be fair, they wrapped up after seven or eight seasons. They knew when to quit, but they start getting repetitive and formulaic, and they run out of steam. I was a big CSI fan, and it's slightly different, but the first few seasons were phenomenal. But then you start to, because we would watch CSI Miami and CSI New York and the original CSI and or Vegas or whatever, and you'd start seeing that they'd pinched the plot from the other shows. They did this a few weeks back in CSI Miami, and this is CSI New York. No. Start recycling plots, because they run out. They run out of ideas, obviously,
Yeah. Yeah, I was a big fan of the Walking Dead in the beginning, just because I liked the whole the end of the world type thing, and the whole world they create, I thought was cool. I love the idea, but the last couple of seasons I have not. I think they've gotten kind of silly. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've tried trying because I just like the world. But then again, is there anybody on it that was in the beginning? I can't think of it. Well, yeah, I guess there are a few, but they can't.
I wouldn't know. I've never seen it.
Right.
The guy, the sheriff guy right at the beginning. Is he still in
he's
gone because, now?
I think he's only been gone for a couple of seasons. But yet it's been longer in the show because they jump forward 6 years or something like that. It's kind of confusing. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still kind of trying to watch, but I did miss a little bit. I don't know. I'm trying. And then they did the what was that? This is so confusing to me. They did that show, Fear of the Walking Dead, and I tried to watch that, and I don't know. I'm not a fan of the main chick that was on there at first, but whatever. But the Fear of the Walking Dead, they did the time jump as well, and so now they're like caught up to the timeline in The Walking Dead. So I'm like, why do they even need another show if they're in the same? I that's confusing to me.
Oh, because what was Fear of the Walking Dead supposed to be? Sort of
the precursor. And that was kind of, that was an interesting idea, but now they're in the same, you know, time.
I'll give that a go. Literally, I think the first one, I thought, no, it's just boring. I'm just, no. But it's not, I mean, it's not often I subscribe, as I say, to the long, you know, long season things, because I just get bored. I'd rather watch a movie, you know, that's sort of, you know, it's an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, but that's it, you know,
that's it.
I like that. That's good. Because the thing is, next, I tend to watch a movie, end of the day, I'll crash in bed and what, and I, you know, like a 2 hour movie for me, it's like, you know, it's like a four episode. Because I, you know, get about half an hour and in fact, I've just finished watching as HBO series the Righteous Gemstones, which is Danny McBride, John Goodman, Adam Devine. I mean, tremendous cast, incredibly well done. It's a big piss take of the mega rich televangelists, or the, you know, evangelist people, you know, with the big super churches, and it's just show they're just corrupt, unpleasant, nasty people, you know. It's him, Joel Osteen, and Jim Backer.
As much as he does, you just can't trust them. You ever see him? He blinks like crazy, like crazily. He's hiding something, you know?
He's a very unpleasant character, you know? So, I recommend it. I mean, it's brilliant. Very well done. It's got some funny bits in it, and to be fair, I just watched the last one of the season, and it fell a bit flat, but the build up to it was really, really good. And I've now season three of The Deuce has started, which is brilliant actually. It's James Franco and Maggie Gyllenhaal. Ever since I saw her in The Secretary, always had a bit of a crush on Max.
That was a good movie.
Brilliant movie. And it started off in the 70s, in New York, in the seedy end of the red light district of New York. It's basically the rise of the porn industry. It's incredibly well done. You know, it's, you know, the great characters, good actors, it's gritty, it's got some humor in it, and you know, the character studies is fantastic. So again, speaking as a professional writer, which I can say now, you know, I like good writing. You know, I very quickly pick out sloppy writing and, you know, cliches and all that stuff. And you know, again, I'd recommend. I think it's the five. They're only doing three seasons, which is nice, so they won't spoil it. So they're now in the early 80s, which is the rise of the home video, you know, VCR, which absolutely catapulted the porn industry into mega billions of dollars. I used to know what the figure was globally. The adult industry globally is literally billions and billions of dollars. I think it's worth about, you know, about 20 billion in England alone. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Wow.
And bearing in mind that's what is catalogued. There's a lot of, you know, aspects of the adult industry that is not catalogued or recorded anywhere. So
saying you don't care for like long things. Have you long series? Gotta watch what I'm saying here.
I do like a long thing, I have to say. Matron.
Anyway. what's that show? Oh, Sharp Objects. I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago.
It's on my list of things that I must see, and I've not. Why have I not watched that yet? Is it good?
I really enjoyed it. I really did. And it's, I think it's only like 10 episodes and that's it. It's like just the a mini series or whatever. So you don't have to like, you know, get too involved. But no, I think she's the author, Jillian, what's her name? Flynn. I've read a couple things by her and I think she's great. I mean, and it's definitely a psychological thing going on there. And I read the book and watched the show and I do think I like the show a little bit better, especially the I like the show a little bit better than I think I like the book. So which doesn't happen very often.
No,
I liked it. It's so you gotta watch that. So
you recommended it so often and I did. I keep a list of things I must watch. And I just keep funny, I keep adding to it and adding to it and then not actually getting around to watch it.
That happens.
So we're going to have to bring Jeff on at some point, but I've been watching it. It's kind of recommended to me by my sweet little baby daughter. It's called Big Mouth, and it's on Netflix. And it's a cartoon, and it's about a bunch of sort of 13-year-old kids, and it's literally about them going through the changes. Yeah. About puberty, basically.
Yeah.
And it is crude, it is vulgar, it is brilliant.
Wow.
And I sit and watch it with my dad, and it is right. I tell you something, it is right. We watched one last night and we ended up having a discussion about STDs. Because I know the only two STDs now I know is STD and herpes. So we had a chat about the other things you can get, and the whole thing was about, you know, different birth control methods and Planned Parenthood and contraception and STD, and it was brilliant. Because she's at that age now where she's facing puberty, staring it in the face, and it couldn't come up at a better time, if you pardon the expression. I mean, some bits of it are a bit. I just sit there and go, they're not going to go. Sure, they're not going to go. Oh, they did go there. They're not just going to leave it to imagination. They're going to fucking show it, and they do. But anybody who's got kids of that age, I'd recommend it. You know, sit and watch it with your children, because it sparks some good debates. I couldn't recommend it enough, to be honest. Unless you're one of these people who thinks they're going to watch it and baby Jesus is going to cry. So in which case, fuck off. Basically.
Well, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, people say that that's something that should be taught in the home and talked about at home, but you know what? People aren't doing it. So, somebody has to. Yeah. I mean, even my own conversation with my mom was like bare minimum, just the facts. And, you know, I left the discussion thinking, it didn't really tell me a whole lot.
I had an older sister, which was helpful. I got hold of a copy of The Naked Eight, the Desmond Morris film, Desmond Morris book. Was it Desmond Morris? Or was it somebody else? I think it was Desmond Morris, which was great. It's a great study of human being as an animal from a zoologist point of view, which obviously I can relate to. And various, we used to go to hedgerow porn, you know, we discarded pornography magazines and friends in the school. By the time we sat us down in middle school to give us to show us the the video, you know, pretty much we knew it all. And seriously, we learned nothing new. So really they should be teaching the kids 9 or 10, not, you know, wait till the 13. You know, it's a bit too fucking late. In our school, half the girls are pregnant by 13, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was that kind of school. Anywho, enough of such unsavory matters. What have we got going on this evening, Xtina?
I am super excited. We have one of my favorite authors on, and as you like to jokingly say, that we are going to have to change the name of our show to The Jeff Gunn Show.
Hey, I think you bring him on. Bring him on. We've missed him since... I think he was on, 2 weeks ago, but bring him on again.
Yeah. Okay, returning guest, we have 4-time nominee of the Bram Stoker Award and winner of the Splatterpunk Award, horror author Jeff Strand.
Well, welcome to the Jeff Strand Show, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
It's wonderful to have. I think that the only thing that is tell it, obviously, the number of times I've had you on, it's always just something new. You are so incredibly prolific. How on earth do you do it?
Pretty much just sit down and write. I don't, you know, I goof off a lot, but I try to goof off as little as possible. And basically, it's just butt in chair in front of keyboard.
Yeah, that's the part I do struggle with sometimes. It's just get my butt to stay in the chair, you know. And do you have any specific techniques, or is it just that you're that kind of person who can be that focused that you just sit and you're not sat there writing? You just start writing, and you know, sort of write two words and think, oh, I really must fill the dishwasher. It needs to be done now. You know, and then, oh, I didn't put the trash out, and oh, I need to go and let the dog out. The dog doesn't want to go out. I mean, how do you get around all of that? Or do you have servants that do it for you?
No, I like to write outside when the weather is decent. So that takes away a lot of the distractions of, oh, it's time to do the dishes. There's, you know, I hate yard work so much that I'm not inclined to say, oh, I'm going to get up and go pick some weeds instead of writing. And I also have a really, really cheap Chromebook laptop. You know, I just bought the cheapest one they had, and that is my exclusive writing computer. So when I'm outside, I usually have that, which means that I don't have access to Facebook or Twitter or email or anything. So I'm kind of, it forces me to just focus on the book instead of, you know, all the millions of ways I can very easily get distracted. And there are no video games in the house, because if I had an Xbox, I would be done. There would be no video games. It would be over. So
yeah.
I recognize my addictive nature.
At least
and so
that's it. You've done something about it. I mean, it's funny, my writing computer, I've mentioned her before. She gets a lot of mention on the show. It's like 15 years. It actually runs on Windows Vista. That's how old it is. and literally, all I do is word processing on it. I remember once I accidentally hit a key and it tried to launch the internet, and it just puffed and wheezed and Word and got hot and stuff, and I can't. I'm not doing that. But all I do is because it's got the old style clunky old keyboard, and you know, I'll be devastated when she finally packs in. But the problem is, it's funny because the battery life and I've timed it is 7 minutes, so I cannot go too far from the socket with this thing, and I don't move it. I don't take it. I actually bought a little thin one, the touch screen, for if I'm out and about, or you know, if I take the kids somewhere and I need to sit and work. But because I just don't move it, because I think if I do it, she should just give up. She just, bless her, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a newer. I had one that didn't last that long because, again, I bought the cheapest possible computer, which means that it broke. So then I have just recently replaced mine with a slightly nicer but still really cheap one that has no features except for lighting. So.
Yeah, it's got an on switch.
Yep.
Well, that's the problem. There's so many distractions. It's so easy. Although what I do miss is when I'm writing on that, if I have to do research, because my other computer, my Mac, is at the other side of my office. And I end up doing my research on my cell phone. And I'm there, you know, I've got this big, 21.5-inch Mac across the room. Can't be bothered to get off my fat ass and go across the room. I'm there squinting at this the cell phone screen to do, you know, for book research, which is surely not doing my eyesight an awful lot of good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just do asterisks with a little note saying research later.
I have to know now. Yeah, you know, I need that detail has to go in now, otherwise the flow just doesn't. It's like building a model out of Legos. You know, you can't just put a little piece of paper and say, you know, put, you know, a window bit here. You need to put the bit in, and I guess that's how for me it works. You know, so otherwise I just hit a brick wall and can't get any. So I've really got to know what this is, or In fact, I'm actually ghostwriting a book set in Regency England at the moment. So I'm researching Regency slang, period slang, and prisons and lifestyle and everything. And I know a lot about it, actually.
Sounds fascinating.
If I were doing it historical, I would have to do it on my main computer because I would be researching stuff every other word.
Yeah, yeah.
But for
and again,
werewolves, I can sit outside and write.
Yeah. So your book, Clowns versus Spiders, which is just released. I mean, the tagline is great. What more do you need? I think that Clowns and Spiders is pretty much, covers so much ground there. And I'm going to ask the obvious question, Jeff. What is it about?
Well, it's about clowns versus spiders.
It is actually literally... That is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
It's about a group of clowns who have lost their good clowns. They're kind-hearted clowns. They're there to entertain families, but they've lost their job at the circus because in the current world, people don't like clowns. So it's like, you guys are nice clowns, but you scare kids. People don't like clowns. We can't have you at the circus anymore. So they all get fired from their job and basically are forced to make ends meet to get a job in a haunted house as scary clowns, which goes against everything they believe in, but you still have to eat. So, so they have to get into the scary clown costumes for the haunted house. And on the night the haunted house opens, an invasion of giant spiders overtakes the small town, and then much chaos and mayhem ensue.
Oh, fantastic. I love that. What a great premise.
I do, too, because it seems comical, which I have to say that the last two books I have read of yours, Bring Her Back and All My Pretties, were rather dark. So I'm excited.
Yeah, My
Pretties
is one of my darkest ones. I think of Bring Her Back as a dark comedy, but it is a dark, dark, dark comedy. And very tragic and grim. And this is a fun book. So this is closer to Ferocious, which is another one of my recent books, where it's just, you're just here to have a good time. I tried to make the spiders are played straight. So they're not goofy spiders. You know, they are, I tried to make that element as scary as possible, but the clown stuff is funny. So if the book is funny throughout, it's just meant to be a fun B-movie style read, but it is not anywhere near as grim as something like My Pretty.
Yeah, that was really good. I mean, I remember even when I finished that. Wow. I mean, it was, but then again, all your books are just so great. And I don't understand how you do it. And I was actually looking through my notes to see how many of your books I have read. And I think it was like 10 now, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 10.
Cool.
And that's a lot. And, you just, the cool thing is that when you go into Jeff's Dream book, you never know what you're going to get. This one could be funny. This one could be dark. This one could be, they're so different. And, when you, now, did you Bring Her Back in All My Pretties? That was like back to back. Was it or no? Was there anything in between those two?
I think I'm actually prolific enough that I have to stop and think about it. No, Bang Up was between those. And that
was
my smut. Yeah, so that was my smut comedy.
Okay, you did have a little break in between the two.
It was Bring Her Back and then Bang Up, which was just pure comedy, no horror whatsoever. And then Cold Dead Hands, which was actually written about 3 years before it was published. And then Ferocious, which is a fun zombie animals in the forest book. And then My Pretties. So I had three between Bring Her Back and My Pretties.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, if you have two, back to back that are like really dark, isn't that, do you have to... Well, I guess it's for anything, after you wrote Bring Her Back, it was dark. Did you need to do something lighter after that, or is that how you work, or?
It's not a need to do, but it prefer to do. So, yeah, you know, Bring Her Back is so dark that I thought, okay, let's go the complete opposite route and do Bang Up, which is just pure, you know, smutty fun. And then I wanted to get back to horror, but, you know, I didn't want to go as dark. You know, I'd also done Sick House, which is very, very dark. So I wanted to go on the more fun side, which was Ferocious, which is, you know, zombie animals. There's only so disturbing that's going to be. That's just a, you know, action-packed, lots of witty dialogue type book. At which point, then, I'm like, all right, so now I need to go super dark again with My Pretties.
Yeah, that was. That was, you know, and then, I don't know, I try not to give too many spoilers away for any of them, but I remember starting My Pretties, and, you know, you're introduced to the main character, and you're thinking, I can't think of his name, but, you know, we're introduced to him, and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, he's a pretty dark character. And then as you get going, he really isn't as dark as, you know, some of the other characters. So I know that was pretty interesting for me. It was like, well, that's, you know, I was shocked there that he was actually the best one out of his family. That was interesting. But I guess, you know, I think that one of the other times we had you on the show is asking you, you know, do you take a break in between books? And you're like, no, you pretty much, you know, you write the end and then you go right to chapter one of, you know, your next book. Is it ever hard to jump, you know, to the new world? I mean, do you ever have the last book still hovering over you and it's hard to get into the next one?
No. By the time I'm done with a book, I am so happy to be done with it that I just can't wait to start the next one. No, I have never had that where it's like typing the end, oh, I don't want to leave this world. I wish this book could go on forever. I'm always like, I've done this. Oh, thank God. You know, when Clowns and Spiders, I had as much fun as I had writing that book, I was happy. You know, I'm always, there is no postpartum depression with a book. I'm always happy.
Well, I want to hear more of Clowns versus Spiders. Is it Clowns? I was, you know, every time I say that, I'm thinking, okay, is it Spiders the first or is it Clowns first? Clowns versus Spiders. Even though I have to say that's one of my worst fears is spiders. Clowns I'm okay with. You know, they're, you know, a little creepy, but spiders, I, you know, I'm definitely afraid of them. If I even see one or anything, I freeze, and as long as they don't move, I'm okay, but I can't move either. But if once they, you know, it's all over, it's pretty bad. But anyway, I want to hear more. Do you have an excerpt for us?
I do, and this excerpt has no spiders, so you don't have to run screaming from the bird.
I would just freeze. Okay. I freeze in the face of danger.
Okay, so there's not a whole lot of setup needed. Our hero clowns are, it's Jaunty the Clown, Bluehead the Clown, Wagon the Clown, Guffaw the Clown, and Reginald the Dignified Clown. And they have just showed up to get their training for their job at the haunted house.
Okay, it's all yours.
Okay. How's it going, everybody? Asked the college-aged kid. I'm Pete. My stage name is Depravo the Clown. I'm in charge of the scary clown room, and it's cool to meet all of you. You go by Depravo? Jaunty asked. Yeah. It's not a very clowny name. Well, his backstory is that when he was a kid, maybe 5 or 6 years old, his entire family was killed by a group of feral clowns. For most of his life, he sought revenge, but he grew to understand their motives and became a murderous clown himself. You'll each need a backstory, too. I'll quiz you on it when you get here tomorrow. Make it really demented. The more fucked up, the better. Clowns don't curse, said Wagon. Excuse me? Clowns don't use that kind of language. Are you messing with me? No, sir. When I'm in makeup, I've got blood dribbling down the side of my mouth that's supposed to be from the throat of a newborn baby. However, you're right. It's against our policy to use foul language in front of customers, so don't do it next week when we have guests coming through. Until then, the Prevo the Clown will use the F word as much as he wants. Got it. He gets it, said Guffaw. I'm sorry, we just come from a family-friendly environment. Yes, I apologize, said Wagon. I'm still getting used to the idea of being nightmare fuel. Whatever, said the Cravo. Okay, you've got your backstory homework. I'm told you can do tricks and stuff. So show me what you've got. I know you're kind of old, but can any of you do cartwheels? We can all do cartwheels, said Gafal. Good, good. It's a small room. Can you do cartwheels without smacking into the wall or each other? Absolutely. Awesome. Upside down clowns are scary as shit. Let's see it. Each of them demonstrated their ability to do a cartwheel. Then all five of them demonstrated their ability to do cartwheels without colliding. Can you juggle? Asked Aprevo. Of course, said Defal. Maybe you could juggle severed heads or severed arms, something severed. They all demonstrated their juggling abilities, using beanbags rather than severed body parts. Can you guys ride a unicycle? Yes, said Defal. Did you bring one with you? No. Damn. I don't know where you'd even get a unicycle. Oh, so we've got cartwheels and juggling. Now we need evil clown laughs. Let's hear you cackle. He pointed to Reginald. What's your name again? Reginald the Pleasant Clown. Not anymore. You're Reginald the Bloodlusty Clown. Will the patrons know our names? No. I'd rather stick with Reginald the Pleasant Clown then. You won't be able to get into character if you're Reginald the Pleasant Clown. You're not pleasant. You're a psycho asshole. You stab people because it amuses you. So let me hear you be amused about having stabbed somebody. Reginald nodded and then laughed with great dignity. Way more psychotic. That's a 0. I need a 9 or 10. Reginald laughed again. That was a 2. That's the way you would laugh if you understood the joke in a Shakespeare play. Reginald laughed once more. Still a 2. I'm getting complete sanity out of that laugh. I want an unhinged laugh. Reginald cleared his throat, took a moment to compose himself, then laughed. No, still terrible. You're doing a ha-ha-ha laugh, and it should be a he-he-he laugh. Forget it. He pointed to Bluehead. Let's hear your scary laugh. Bluehead giggled. See, that almost made me shit my pants. That's what you should all aspire to. Is that what we really want when customers are close together in a small space? Asked Wagon. I don't see how that would be fun for anybody. I meant metaphorically shitting their pants. Okay, yeah, that would be better. Aprevo frowned. I'm getting this feeling like the five of you aren't really into the idea of scaring people. You understand why you're here, right? Yes, said Gafal. We absolutely understand why we're here. I apologize. We performed in a very different environment for a long time, but I promise it won't affect our work. Every single one of us will bring our murderous clown A-game. Jaunty nodded. We'll get this out of our systems and come back ready to scare, scare, scare. In fact, that'll be our cheer. Scare, scare, scare. Everybody now. Scare, 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 chanted the clowns with a respectable amount of enthusiasm. Oh, come on. You can do better than that, said Jaunty. This is the scary clown room at the Mountain of Terror. By golly, let's hear your scary clown room spirit. Scare, scare, scare. And that was an excerpt from Clowns vs. Spiders.
I love it. I do. It's funny because when I when the book came out and I saw the title of it, and I remember thinking, okay, well, I don't have to jump to get this. You know, I'm not really into clowns or spiders, so I'm good with, you know, leaving it in reading the next Jeff Stern book. And now I think I have to read it. I love the dialogue. I love the humor that you put into your writing. And you know, we were talking about what was that movie, Zombieland. And you know, it reminds me of the are you a fan of Zombieland?
Right before the show, I just got back from seeing Zombieland Double Tap. So
really?
I enjoyed that one a lot. I love it.
Yes.
So my history with Zombieland is that Shaun of the Dead is my favorite movie of all time.
Uh-huh.
And so when Zombieland came out, all the hype was, it's the best zombie comedy ever. It's even better than Shaun of the Dead. And I watched it like, yeah, that was fun. That was anywhere close to Shaun of the Dead. And I still get mad to this day when people say it's better than Shaun of the Dead. So, yeah, but I enjoyed it. So I went into Zombieland Double Tap with pretty low expectations, thinking, you know, just give me a minimum amount of entertainment. And I actually really enjoyed it. So I think it's probably about as good as the first one, you know, equal quality, but I was more inclined to appreciate it this time.
I definitely agree. And I have to say, and I'm going to get like booed, I'm sure, but I have not seen Shaun of the Dead.
Boo!
Oh,
shame. Shame on you.
I know.
How dare you? I'm gonna dummy you. Between now and the next show, you've got to watch Shaun of the Dead. Otherwise, I'm not gonna let you on the show.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I gotcha. You know, just a couple weeks ago, we watched the Dale and Tucker versus Evil. That one. And my son.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Good little film. That was fun. It was good fun.
My son wanted to see it, and both me and the boyfriend were like, "Nah, it doesn't sound like anything we." But he made us watch. Well, I can't say made us, but he wanted to watch this so bad that we sat down, and I could not believe how much I enjoyed it. I laughed. I didn't even want to because I'm not one for. I don't really like the spoof, like, Scary Movie or anything like that. I do like, I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was great. And so if Shaun of the Dead is even better, I have to, I guess we're going to have to watch that.
I think Shaun of the Dead is, because it's quintessentially British, it is a great take on the British, because the zombie outbreak happens. And obviously you get Zombieland and they go across country and they do all that. In Shaun of the Dead, zombie outbreak, they go down the pub. And that is so wonderfully observed of the British attitude and the British life. Everything revolves around the pub on the corner. And it was some of the references were in there, and obviously Simon Pegg and Frost, a great, great double act. They're tremendously well together. So you must watch that. That is your homework. Before the next
okay.
We're not having a show next week, so you've got 2 weeks to watch Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yay.
There you go.
And Halloween we have next week, and I know that the first time I believe we had Jeff on the show, I mentioned the Halloween remakes, Rob Zombie, and he is not a fan. He says I think you absolutely hate them, right? I mean, it's not just you don't like them. You just hate them, right?
Well, I've only even seen the first one. I disliked the first one so much that I didn't see any reason to see Halloween 2. So, but yes, I actively hated the Rob Zombie Halloween.
I liked them.
I was going to respect your tastes on your show and not bring up that horrible, horrible movie.
I don't know. I just, to me, I think it was the fact that it was so, I don't even know what the word I want to use here. I just remember staring at some of the scenes and just thinking that I was going to walk away just a little bit demented because of, so to me, maybe I'm a big fan of shock, the shock thing or something, because, I like the fact that we got a little more backstory, I thought, into Michael Myers, so I thought that was kind of cool. But, I don't know. Just, I love Halloween stuff. I love scary stuff. And, I don't know. And that's one thing I think I've been spoiled when it comes to horror books or, anything in this area, this genre, because, I like the comedy in there, and I don't think there's a lot of the authors out there who do that, who put that, that's what if I pick up a book, I want to chuckle, especially if it's really gruesome, because sometimes you need a little comedy break, remember reading Tenebrian by James, it was like that, where you'd have like something gruesome happen and then somebody would like pop up with a joke or something. And you're like, whew, I needed that. They cut the tension a little bit or, I can breathe normally again, So I like that. I have to have a little bit of comedy in there. I babbled a whole lot just then, but I think we have to take a short break real quick and a commercial and a song, and don't go anywhere. Okay.
All right, I won't.
he wouldn't dare. Okay, we'll be right back.
Crime Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Cheered me right up, that did. Cheered me right up. But I'll tell you what, before we bring Jeff back on, I'm gonna hit this button.
Into a week in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on? And I say,
Xtina, you're on the spot again. What is going on?
God. You know, I like it better when you follow up when you do the Trump thing first, because then I get to say, you know, things and really good things because
biggie things. Yeah. Well, just to feel it, you should read our website occasionally. You know, do you know we have one? We've got a plethora or perhaps a myriad. And I've had that argument with somebody just the other day, actually. And we've got that Roadkill 4, Texas Horror for Texas, from Texas writers, and for Texas writers in many ways, which is actually having an official paperback launch on the 9th of November at a local, local to me, not local to everyone, obviously, bookstore. We've got Man-Eating Fox, The Legacy from David O'Wayne Hughes. We've got Skin Dreams from Brett McCormick. Highway 20 by Michael J. Moore. It's funny, actually, Skin Dreams and Roadkill 4, both Brett McCormick productions, because Brett actually compiled and edited Roadkill 4. Skin Dreams, obviously, his. The Toilet Zone, which is actually nominated for a Bram Stoker Award, would you believe? I don't know how that happened. Somebody's nominated us, and we just popped up on the list, which is tremendous. All Mr. McCormick. So we're gonna have to change the name of the company to, you know, Brett McCormick Bound.
Yes, and we have him coming on the show. Well, of course, next week is Halloween, but then the week after that we have Brett on the show. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
I almost forgot something that is not Brett McCormick. Actually, is the first issue of our of the Hellbound Books comic book. It's called Bound for Hell, and it's experimental at this stage, but it looks absolutely stunning, absolutely gorgeous. Yes, I have a story. In fact, the only story I've ever co-written with someone is in there. It exists as a short story, but it's in there as a graphic story as well. So there you go. There you go.
Yes, so, and let's see. Okay, and I am. Yeah, we have you said news, and are we gonna like ever announce like the title to the dark romance anthology that I'm currently putting together? Which
no,
is a lot
we're,
of fun.
We're not.
No,
we're not going to mention
secret.
It because of people who will steal it. Let's wait until we've published.
Ooh,
because
that's true.
We can't trust because it's such a phenomenal site that people are just gonna wee. They're gonna wee when they see it.
I've picked out some amazing stories for it, so I'm really excited. It's gonna be great. So we have that.
And then we have
more of the audio books that are going
popping out and
The Toilet Zone. I just listened to the first 15 minutes, I was so impressed. He did a really great job. And so, yay, we're going. That's so much fun. I love listening, back to the 80s.
No, that's great. I'm glad you're doing it for me. That has been totally your project, which is great,
It's a lot
I don't know when I'd find the time to actually listen to them, to be honest. Seriously.
Yeah,
I would not have the time to listen to them because I can't like listen to that and do something else. Otherwise, I lose concentration on one of the two things. I cannot multitask at all.
Yeah. See, that's we have an office, and me and the boyfriend both work in the office, and there's times that I'm trying to edit or proofread or something, and I'm trying to concentrate. And he's working, and he's got a podcast going on, and I'm like, oh dear Lord, I can't. I have to have quiet. But I guess his mind works differently. He can do the computer programming, and he can do the podcast.
People can write with music on. If I was to try and write with music on, I'd end up the lyrics would sort of be in my book.
Silence.
I'm so, as we were saying to Jeff earlier, one of these people is easily distracted, but hopefully, are you still there, Jeff?
I sure am.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to give you a little. Welcome back to part two, Jeff.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was going to be. I was going to be really witty earlier when you asked what was going to be on the show.
I doubt that very much.
I was going to be like, you know, our first guest is Jeff Strand to talk to us about, you know, clowns versus spiders. And our second guest is Jeff Strand to talk to us about his book, Wolf Hunt 3, which I have to say I am excited about because I've read Wolf Hunt and a Wolf Hunt 2, and they are so great, and I can't wait. As a matter of fact, I was trying to do that thing that I do occasionally where I, you know, plead for free books, and he was like, it's not even, you know, done yet, so, or out yet, not until, like, next month. I was like, damn it. So, you know, that backfired on me because, man, I'm really excited about Wolf Hunt 3. I think I had asked you once before if we were going to get anything else with the this world, and I didn't think that you said that there was anything, you know, in the works or anything, so I'm excited about it. And I guess that is a question, is how did you know it's, you know, it's time we should, you know, I should revisit this world?
It, you know, there's always been the plan to do a Wolf Hunt 3, because Wolf Hunt 2 didn't end necessarily on a cliffhanger, but it ended with, there's more to come.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, you know, it took me 5 years to finally get around to it. And really, it was kind of a marketing thing, because I'm doing a newsletter promo exchange, which is basically a bunch of different authors tomorrow as we record this, you know, whenever people listen to it, will be in the long, distant, ancient past. But it's a promo, basically, where you, instead of promoting your own books, you promote the link, which is www.cheaphorrorebooks.com. And it's a whole bunch of different horror novels for 99 cents. And this promo will include Wolf Hunt 1 and Wolf Hunt 2. So I thought, hey, wouldn't that be a good time to also release Wolf Hunt 3? But I didn't get Wolf Hunt 3 done in time. So Wolf Hunt 3 is up for pre-order. I haven't mentioned it yet. I'm going to start promoting it tomorrow morning, but it actually is up now. And so, you know, along with the Wolf Hunt 1 and 2 99-cent sale for Kindle, pre-orders for Wolf Hunt 3 are now up. So it was basically, the timing was, hey, if the first two books are going to have a more visibility, I should try to, you know, coincide it with Wolf Hunt 3. And so my wife, Lynn Hansen, who does all my covers, did new covers for Wolf Hunt 1 and 2 to give them a more unified look. And then she also, of course, did the cover for Wolf Hunt 3. So those are, we haven't promoted those yet. That's all tomorrow. But if you go on Amazon, they are now up there with the new brand spanking new covers. So that was what it was. It was, hey, this is a good marketing opportunity to finally bring the return of the Wolf Hunt series.
Yeah, I was, you know, before we had you come back, I was, this week I've been looking through, you know, some of your books that I've read to try to, you know, freshen up my memory. And I started with Wolf Hunt, the first book, and right away I was just like, oh, I remember these characters and they are so funny. I mean, and that is what I've always taken away from your books, is the humor. I crack up, and there are times, especially, I remember reading Blister, and there were times that the humor to me was a little more understated, like, and I remember thinking, I wonder if everybody gets that this is funny. I mean, because I'm sure there's people out there that just don't have the same sense of humor, and they don't really get it. But I'm like, I just crack up. I do. And even with Bring Her Back, some of the thoughts in, my mind is drawing a blank here. The main character, the thoughts that were in his head, I would just think, oh my gosh, that is so funny. I mean, I don't know, but it's a dark humor. But at the same time, you know, when the two thugs in the beginning of Wolf Hunt are talking about breaking that guy's thumbs, oh my goodness. I mean, and just the thought of having your thumbs actually broken is horribly gruesome, but they made it just comical, you know, and it's like, that's a talent right there.
Yeah, well, that's what I want. I wanted to play the, you know, they are going to break the guy's thumbs, and I wanted it to be, you know, unnerving because it's an old guy getting his thumbs broken, but at the same time, they're helping him out with his cover story because he has to explain why he has broken thumbs. So it's like, we're going to break your thumbs, but we're going to help you get through it. We're going to make sure that you can explain it to your family because it's for drug money that was not paid back. But since his family doesn't know he's a drug dealer, it, you know, we'll help you work out a cover story so that when your thumbs are broken, it doesn't get you in trouble with your family. So they're considerate guys, and yet they're still going to break someone's thumbs.
Yeah, I do like the way that you can make, you know, even thugs into the good guys of the story. I mean, I loved them. They were great. And I did read forward to the excerpt that you're going to read for us shortly. And I have questions. So maybe just a good time to do the reading. You want to do the reading for Wolf Hunt 3?
Sure. And my big disclaimer is that there's, you know, the excerpt is a big spoiler for a surprise in Wolf Hunt 2. So if you haven't read Wolf Hunt 2, cover your ears and go la, 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 and for probably the next 15 minutes or so while we discuss it. But yeah, the challenge has been that the Wolf Hunt 3, basically, I can't really discuss it without spoiling Wolf Hunt 2, but you know, Wolf Hunt 2 was 5 years ago, so I'm not going to worry about it too much. But so, yeah.
Okay.
So the setup is that at the end of Wolf Hunt 2, you know, it was a George and Lou book, but Lou died in Wolf Hunt 2. So
the book
ends with George and also Allie and Eugene, two characters who joined him along the way in the second book. They're in a compound that is run by a guy named JP. And so when Wolf Hunt 3 starts, they've been living there for a few weeks. And that's where this excerpt takes off.
Okay.
So what's up, George asked. JP grinned, revealing his perfect teeth. Nice job blowing out all those birthday candles last night. Thanks. What did you wish for? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. But seriously, George, tell me what you wished for. I wished for Charlize Theron to be waiting in my bed when I got back. She wasn't. Ah. You seem weirdly disappointed by my wish. I thought maybe you'd wish for something else. Well, what happened is I didn't actually believe that by successfully blowing out all 45 candles, I would be granted a magical wish. Because if that were the case, millions of little girls would have ponies, and Charlize Theron would be in beds across the nation. So I amused myself in my own mind with my implausible wish, never thinking that I'd have to defend my choice to you. Look, I apologize, said JP. I just thought you might have wished to have your friend back. Fuck you, said George. He clenched his fist, though he had no intention of actually punching anybody. Don't you dare turn his death into a stupid birthday wish discussion. That was really uncool of me. I'd planned out the way this conversation was going to go, and I botched it. No offense intended. So let me set this up a different way because I feel like it needs some preamble. How much do you miss Lou? Why? Answer the question. Well, how much do you think I miss him? Sorry, this is going horribly, said JP. I'm going to ask you to give me 2 minutes to play along and not be antagonistic. Can you do that for me, George?
Sure.
You know that we collected the bodies of all the werewolves and their victims, right?
Yes.
And you know that we've been keeping Lou in our makeshift morgue so that you could eventually give him a proper burial, right?
Right.
Wrong. What the hell are you talking about? You promised not to be antagonistic. Sorry, said George. I thought the 2 minutes were up. I'm not going to get into all the science because I understand maybe 4% of it. However, one of our projects in one of the rooms that you're not allowed to enter has been trying to return your friend to you. George took a step back to decrease the chances that he might indeed punch JP in the face. You mean like a zombie? No. No rotting flesh or braining, no monkey's paw twist. I mean Lou Flynn, just the way you remember it. I mean that we're ready for the final step and we need you there for it. This is a joke. I would shatter your jaw. Not just break it, shatter it. That would be completely fair. So you ready to see him?
Yeah.
Excerpt from Wolf Hunt 3.
I'm ready to see him. I'm ready. So you know, my thought was that they were going to make him into a werewolf. Is that, you know, you're probably not going to tell us at all, are you?
No, I'm probably not going to tell you. But...
No, I know, but now I'm excited because I teared up. I really did when you killed him. And when you killed him, I teared up. And I think I even remember writing you on Facebook and being mad at you for killing him. I remember correctly. I mean, it sounds like something I would do. Yeah.
I have a newsletter. My newsletter is going out tomorrow, and it's got an article on basically the creative decision I most regret. And it's basically a explanation of why the decision was made to kill Lou in Wolf Hunt 2 and why I decided to sort of walk that back for Wolf Hunt 3. Because I can justify the decision. I think it was the right decision for Wolf Hunt 2, but it made a lot of people mad.
Yeah,
thought,
they were just
if I'm gonna deep. If I'm gonna do Wolf yeah. Hunt 3, it needs to be a George and Lou book. So
definitely. That's how I they just made such a good team. They really did. And I know every time you're on I bring up Cyclops Road because I loved that book. And you know, just speaking as a fan, I think that at the end, the very last page there, you could see where they could continue on their adventure into, you know, something different. So I'm just going to leave that out there for you. So.
All right. I will take the note.
I know that, you know, I don't personally do a lot with the listening to audiobooks for pleasure because I can't pay attention. I really can't. And I just find my mind wandering. And but I will say that Cyclops Road was the only audiobook I ever bought, you know, to for pleasure. I did end up reading, you know, I ended up getting the paperback too, but I have that on audio. And I was playing that the other night, again, because I've been trying to, you know, pushing up on all things Jeff Strand, and so I thought, well, let's listen to this. And no, it's I just like all your books, and you just need to you know, keep writing. Basically, for me, it doesn't matter if there are other fans out there who read you. I'm the important one, and I say more Cyclops Road, and you know, but what are you doing next?
The Cyclops Road audiobook. Joe Hempel, who narrated that, is going to be doing the audiobook for Clowns vs. Spiders. So that'll be out from Tantor Media at some point. I'm not sure what the time frame is. And Scott Thomas, who did the audiobooks for Wolf Hunt 1 and 2, will be returning for the audiobook for Wolf Hunt 3. So if you like audiobooks, there is much audio goodness headed your way.
Yeah, I have to admit, now that, you know, Hellbound has gotten into audiobooks, I'm a much bigger fan now, and I can appreciate all that goes into it. And especially, you know, just, you know, having you on and reading two excerpts, I have to say that I am awful at reading the excerpts. Sometimes we'll have a female guest come on, and she'll say that she isn't comfortable reading, you know, her stuff. And I've had to do it maybe twice in, like, you know, 3+ years, and I suck. I suck so bad, and I even practice ahead of time over and over again. But as I get reading, I get going faster and faster, and I don't think I breathe, and it's a mess, and nobody can understand what I'm saying. So
I enjoy doing readings, but I'm not at a professional level, not where I would do my own audiobooks. I leave that to people like Joe Hempel and Scott Thomas, but I like doing live readings and I like reading on your show, but it's not something that I'm not good enough at it to actually do the full audiobook.
No. And you know, we're talking about audio and narrators. I have to say we had an amazing guy. Of course, a lot. We've had several different guys, and they're all really, really good. But there's one that always sticks out of my head, and he did one of my favorite Hellbound books, Blood in the Woods, Christopher Harbour. And I have to say, we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago or some, maybe it was a little bit longer than that. But there was a part in the book where he had to do this little like kids, like teen kids or preteen kids get together and they're doing this little song. It's like, you know, just silly. And they, you know, they reference some rap song that they thought it was kind of similar to from back in like the 80s. And Christopher Harbour had to listen to the song over and over again, you know, on YouTube or something to get the beat. And I was just so impressed that he went to the lengths that he did to do this little, you know, this little ditty. And I was just like, that is so awesome. So, you know, if anybody needs an audio book, you know, narrated, Christopher Harbour is great.
All right.
But, I know.
I need to put more rap songs in my books.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's something that people don't do often enough, and it was just
that's
silly.
What I
but
should
he
do.
Just,
I should write a book just for the purpose of torturing the narrator.
Yes,
just
you know, I mean
every goofy voice I can think of, and lots of singing.
Singing, definitely lots of singing. Yeah. But what is it that you are working on now?
At this point, I'm still polishing up Wolf Hunt 3, which is up for pre-order now, but doesn't come out until November 19th. I've got a little bit of time to tweak that. And I actually don't know what's coming next after that. It will be a it'll be a horror novel, I know for sure, but it's one that's not – most of my stuff I write for you know, basically just for Kindle, so I know that it'll be out really quickly after it's done. And this one is not going to be like that. This one will not be seen for quite a while after it's done. And I haven't quite – I've got the basic idea of the story, but I'm not 100% committed to that yet, so – at this point, the future beyond Wolf Hunt 3 is not known.
That's what I was wondering. If you, you know, normally write the end and then go right into the next project, do you have a bunch of stories that are just kind of like hovering, you know, waiting to get a life of their own, or is it just kind of like whatever happens, happens? I mean, yeah, that's one of the questions I had. Do you plan or are you, you know, yeah, you plan out your stuff.
I have
stuff
a document that's sort of like if I come up with a story idea, I will write it down. But a lot of times I don't go to that when it's time for the next book. It tends to be – the idea for the next book tends to be pretty quickly after, you know, after I start writing it. So – or before I start writing it. So it's not like, oh, I've been – this book has been percolating for 15 years. A lot of times it's what can I write about that's really scary, and then, you know, try to build the story from there. So I don't tend to go back to the list of ideas that often. So probably whatever comes next will be, you know, an idea that I haven't even come up with yet.
Now, I can't imagine you have any time for anything other than writing, because you put out books so quickly. But when you're not writing, do you tend to read a lot? And what do you like to read?
I don't read anywhere near as much as I would like to. With my to-be-read pile, if I did nothing but read, if I lived a long, long life and stopped needing to sleep, and just read, I still could not get through my entire pile before I died. But I pretty much, you know, I read a lot of horror. I actually read a lot of mainstream type stuff. But yeah, I don't read anywhere near as much as I would like to or should. But I'm pretty much a horror reader.
I used to read so much more than I do now, but when it's something that, you know, you do for a job, it's not it's not as much for pleasure. But I have been reading lately, you know, after a long day, you get in bed at night and you have your book, and I have a paperback book that I'm reading, which is something that, wow, you know, because normally it's the Kindle and stuff, but you know that your phone just hits you in the head so many times, you go to a nice soft paperback. And anyway, I've been reading
a lot. You can't swat flies with Kindle very well. Well, you can once.
Once, yeah.
It costs a fortune in Kindles when you try and get flies.
But no, I definitely, it's been nice getting back into actual reading for pleasure and, you know, just going to a bookstore and browsing and being like, this looks nice. Let me pick that up because, you know, it's for so long it was, let's look on Amazon and get a Kindle book. So that's been really nice to, you know, read something other than what I'm doing for Hellbound. We have some great titles coming out, but there's something about, you know, getting in bed at night with your book and reading. And although I'm getting older now and I need glasses, and so it's not comfortable reading at night with my glasses on, so it's just a big mess. But I'm still, you know, it's the, you know, little things that are getting me by. And
well, that was my favorite part of the Kindle, was being able to change the font size.
Yeah.
That is true.
But that was before I switched, because I was wearing contacts, which meant that I needed reading glasses. But I got rid of the contacts and switched to regular glasses. So now I need glasses for distance viewing, but up close is perfectly clear. So now I can read fine. So I don't actually need the font changing feature of the Kindle, but I still like to read on my Kindle. And I kind of quit acquiring books for the most part after my move, because when I moved from Florida to Atlanta, I got rid of just piles and piles and piles and piles and piles of books, you know, because we couldn't take them all. So we just purged an insane number of books, donated them. And so then it's been pretty easy since moving to Atlanta to not, you know, not, I'm not completely not acquiring new books, but it's a lot easier to not get them because I still have the memory of the entire room piled high with books that we had to get rid of. So I haven't gotten over that yet. So it's easy not to, you know, I really don't have room for more books, but I still acquire some, and I have not been able to completely erase the impulse buy on Kindle stuff. So that one click is pretty easy.
Yeah. Now I think we're getting close. Well, I don't know. I think we're getting close to the end of the show here, and I never leave time for, you know, to ask our guests where we can find you online and stuff like that. So where can we find you online?
www.jeffstrand.com, and I'm on Facebook as Jeff Strand Author. I'm on Twitter as Jeff Strand, and I'm on Instagram as Jeff Strand Author. And all those links are easy to find on www.jeffstrand.com.
I will get your links put up on our Facebook page. If anybody wants to stalk you, they can go there and do that. And, you know, also you have to promise to come back because I will just stalk you on Facebook if you say no anyway, so you just might as well say yes.
I will say yes.
It's like there's a choice there, but because I'll have Jeff on in a few weeks, and they've written another 20 books, so plenty to talk about. I joke because I'm jealous. I wish I had that level of focus. I'm working on it. I'm getting better, but last question, Jeff. I mean, do you give yourself like a daily word target, or do you do it by how many hours you're going to sit, or do you not do that? You just sit and just write.
It's a fluctuating target. So when I'm at the beginning of a book, it's a lot less. And then when I get to the end, I start to get those insane word counts. I never, you know, you'll hear people say, I wrote 8,000 words today. And that doesn't generally happen for me. Mm-hmm. But it goes up as I get closer to the end of the book. And what, you know, at the beginning, you're still feeling out the characters, still sort of working out the tone. So it's a much slower process. But then once I'm on those last few chapters, I sort of fly through them pretty quickly. So, when I have a deadline, like I have the Wolf Hunt 3 deadline, you know, productivity increases the closer I get to having to actually finish it.
Yeah, I'm the same. It's called panic.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the one.
Well, everybody out there, go ahead and check out Wolf Hunt 1 and 2 and prepare for Wolf Hunt 3 next month. I can't wait. I'm going to be doing a reread myself to get ready. And I can't wait to have you back on when you, talked about Wolfman. But...
Thank you for joining us, Jeff. It's an absolute pleasure, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I'm afraid, yeah, time has beaten us again. It is that time of the evening when we say goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight, Xtina.
I'm the pretender, pretending I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Oh yeah, I'm the pretender. That you're free.